भूयस्त्वं तप आकृष्ट विद्यां चैव मराश्रयाम् अन्तर्हृदि भवान् लोकान् द्रक्ष्यस्य भावृतान् भूयस्त्वं तप आकृष्ट विद्यां चैव मराश्रयाम् आद्यामन्तर्हृदि भ्रमन् लोकान् द्रक्ष्यस्य भावृतान् O Brahma, situate yourself in penance and meditation and follow the principles of knowledge to receive my favor. By these actions, you'll be able to understand everything from within your heart. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The mercy the Lord bestows upon a particular person engaged in executing the responsible work entrusted unto him is beyond imagination. But his mercy is received due to our penance and perseverance in executing devotional service. Brahma was entrusted with the work of creating the planetary systems. The Lord instructed him that when he meditated, he would very easily know where and how the planetary systems must be arranged. The directions were to come from within, and there was no necessity for anxiety in that task. Such instructions of Buddhi Yoga are directly imparted by the Lord from within, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 10:10. Om again, it's another sort of Srila Prabhupada is continuing to give us his managemental guidelines, how to be an empowered executor of tasks in Krishna consciousness. And we would like all devotees, no matter what your service is, to consider these instructions from Srila Prabhupada very deeply, because these instructions concern desire. Desire is the magical, mystical ingredient in Krishna consciousness. You may remember when you first were attracted to Krishna consciousness, something happened to your desire. Maybe you didn't know what you were getting into at all when you first came in contact with devotees, Srila Prabhupada's books, prasad. But what was going on is that your desire began to change, and you began to aspire for something else. So this desire of the living entity is the most powerful thing. By desire, you are in the material world, and by desire, you can be in the spiritual world. Everything depends on this substance called desire, which cannot be measured materially, nor can it be seen materially. Yet, desire is what's going to make us or break us. The whole Krishna conscious process, our whole Krishna conscious facility here is for training desire. Because if you can desire properly, you will go back to Godhead. And if you desire improperly, you'll continue to implicate yourself in one material body after another, in different material circumstances. Therefore, the greatest mercy that can be shown upon the living entity is to train the desire for the highest goal of life. In this verse, the Lord is telling Brahma how his desire can become so powerful that he'll understand everything what to do by the grace of the Lord in the heart. Antahriddhi, inside the heart. Antahriddhi, what is going on? And this is a question we have to ask ourselves too. Bhakti Yoga equips us with the tools to deal with the antahriddhi. What's going on inside my heart? What kind of desires do I have? If your desires become purified, then you can receive direction from the Lord in the heart. It's not simply that Brahma is the only one entitled to this, but you have to have the qualifications like Brahma. Not exactly you have to be in charge of the universe. It's not that you have to be the most intelligent person in the universe from the material point of view, as Brahma is, but you have to be a soul surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Buddhi Yoga means how to use your intelligence for Krishna's service. Now, everyone has buddhi, intelligence. To some degree, every creature has some kind of intelligence. It's there in the subtle body, whether you're an ant or a human being, some manifestation of buddhi is there. So we're not so impressed just by the possession of buddhi, our intelligence. We are impressed by buddhi yoga. Buddhi yoga means to link your buddhi, link your intelligence to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then, because the Lord is unlimited, even though you are limited, you'll receive instruction how to serve Krishna nicely. So, the intelligence is not for making ourselves comfortable in the material world and for giving us information how to enjoy the body. No, the intelligence is for how to give Krishna pleasure. When our intelligence functions in that way, then we are actually in our constitutional position. Now, the Lord has been telling Brahma that if you take up this task I've given you, then packed into the duty is so much empowerment. This is what Prabhupada is bringing out in the purports. For example, today we heard, the mercy the Lord bestows upon a particular person engaged in executing the responsible work entrusted unto him is beyond imagination. So, the mercy is already there inside our responsible service. And every service that you do has to be done with the attitude of responsibility. Even if materially it looks like a very simple service or a menial service, packed into that devotional service you have is your ticket back to Godhead, your ticket to getting Krishna's favor. That's why we have to learn how to perform devotional service in the Madhashraya way, under the protection of the Supreme Lord. You do your service in such a way that you are taking shelter of the Supreme Lord. And then you can plunder that mercy that's already packed within your service. So as we were explaining yesterday, the fact is, in your service, if it's done responsibly, there's already the mercy. Now, how are you going to realize that mercy? There has to be constant prayer. My dear Lord, please don't let me become proud. Just like Brahma had his three requests of the Lord. Give me the intelligence to do this task. Protect me from becoming materially affected. And may I never deviate from the Vedic guidelines. So, with that kind of attitude, you can plunder the storehouse of mercy that's packed within your service. And then, we're getting a further tip today. Beyond asking for protection, asking for intelligence constantly, also you have to persevere. As Prabhupada writes here, his mercy is received due to our penance and perseverance in executing devotional service. So these are the ingredients for success. Not that you just one day pray, oh Lord, protect me, oh Lord, give me intelligence, and then some obstacle comes, or things don't go your way, or some personal inconvenience is there while doing your service, and then you just give up. Oh, what's the use of this? I have to tolerate something, I have to go through some inconvenience, things aren't immediately working out the way I wanted them to work out for Krishna, therefore I'm discouraged. No. If you want to plunder the mercy that's already there in your service, packed within your service, then you adopt these attitudes as Prabhupada's recommending in the purport. The result of that will be your intelligence will connect to Krishna and you'll become empowered by Krishna how to do your service. We've all seen examples of how devotees can do empowered service. Even a chore that seems so menial. Someone can clean in such a way that you think, I've never seen such a clean place before, or such a wonderful job of cleaning. Such a devotee must be attracting the mercy of the Lord. Everything about bhakti is like that. It can be done in such a way, your service can be done in such a way that you attract Krishna's attention. And that's because of your penance and perseverance. When we think of examples of devotees who just year after year have been doing their service through all kinds of weather, whether they're serving the deity, going on sankirtan, or administering the temple, when you look, then you have to think, how is this going on year after year after year? In spite of bodily disturbances, social disturbances, organizational disturbances, even if you are serving Krishna and preaching the mission of Lord Chaitanya, because this is the material world, there are going to be disturbances. There's no doubt about that. One devotee asked Srila Prabhupada once, why is it that there are disturbances in this world? And Prabhupada corrected the devotee's thinking. That's not the question to ask. Why are there disturbances in this world to our peace? The question should be, why is there sometimes peace in this world of disturbances? But because our consciousness is not very intelligent, we automatically think, inherently this world is peaceful. And yet there are these disturbances. Why, oh God? Why must our sense gratification be disturbed? Actually, the truth is the opposite. This is a constant world, a world of constant disturbances. It's called Kunta, the place of anxiety. And sometimes, within the Kunta, within the place of anxiety, there seems to be some peace, a few moments. So that is the great wonder. Why these feelings, these momentary feelings of peace in a completely disturbed atmosphere. You can sense our feeling of rebellion in that we don't want to accept Krishna's judgment on the world that emanates from him. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Dukkalayam Shashvatam, this world is miserable, anityam sukham lokam, it's temporary, it's painful, no happiness. But we are intent to prove Krishna wrong. That's why we have these material bodies. We're going to show Krishna with our material bodies that he doesn't know what he's talking about. That is our mission statement as conditioned souls. We're going to put Krishna in his place and show him we can enjoy. That's not only the California dream, that's the dream everywhere. We can do it. There is happiness in sense gratification. This is our mission. We're going to demonstrate it is possible to be materially happy. And in order to carry out that foolish mission, you have to have a material body. And because you have a material body, to carry out the mission of getting happiness, that very material body makes you suffer. But we're so bewildered we can't understand that we're already prepackaged to fail in our mission. The very thing that we're going to use to be materially happy is causing our material distress. But we haven't figured that one out yet. I've got a body and I'm going to enjoy. and then we'll see that it is possible to get some satisfaction in this world. But the very body and mind we're using as an instrument to achieve this goal is what's causing the problem. Now, earlier in this chapter, Brahma makes a very interesting point. I can quickly find it. He says, O my Lord, the material miseries are without factual existence for the soul. All right, so we can think about that. Material miseries, they actually don't exist, it's just a dream. But then, why am I affected by material miseries? So, Brahma continues to explain, yet, as long as the conditioned soul sees the body as meant for sense enjoyment, he cannot get out of the entanglement of material miseries, being influenced by your external energy. So, this shows you the power of desire. As long as you desire that I'm going to experience sense enjoyment, I'm going to experience material happiness, by that very desire, you cannot get out of the material entanglement. This is how powerful a thing desire is. Because you see your body as an instrument for sense gratification, just that vision alone, that desire alone, means you're trapped. You must suffer. Now this is a hard thing for us to understand, because we have this instinctive feeling that I'm a free spirit, and that I just float through this world getting happiness and a little distress, of course. I mean, we're not unrealistic. We know there's going to be suffering sometimes. But basically, the world is going to give us pleasure. Our body is going to give us pleasure. It's going to happen sometime. This is our mythological belief. We have a mythological belief in sense gratification. It's going to help us. And if there are any problems in our life, it's mainly because we haven't had good enough sense gratification. So if I start talking about Greek mythology or something like that, everyone says, oh, well, you know, that's just a myth. All these different tales, different primitive nations. But if we talk about sense gratification, that's for real. That's like knocking on wood. That really exists, the pleasure of your senses. In this way, we simply sign up for suffering without knowing it. We think, what's wrong with an innocent desire to enjoy? But the Bhagavatam is pointing out, we need training so that we understand there's no such thing as an innocent desire to materially enjoy. That desire has to be reformed. That desire has to be purified. And therefore, on behalf of Lord Chaitanya, Srila Prabhupada has given us these Krishna conscious facilities for training our desire in perfection. You may say, well, Krishna's in everyone's heart. He's giving us all direction. So why do we have to worry about training our desire? Because the Lord's in our heart and He'll just guide us where we need to go. So it is a fact. Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam Hriday Sharduna Tishpati, or as we heard in today's Sanskrit, Antahridi, within the heart, there is the Lord. And it is a fact, He's giving direction. There's no doubt about that. But you can't stop the analysis there. Well, the Lord is in everyone's heart, He's giving direction. So, in time we'll all go back to Godhead. We'll all become Krishna conscious. We don't have to worry so much about training our desire, because the Lord's in our heart, and as long as we know that, it'll all work out. No, this is a kind of impersonal attitude, because you're forgetting that although the Lord is in everyone's heart, and He's giving direction to everyone, that direction depends on your desire. Ye tamam prapadjante tam sthitaiva bhajamyaham. As you desire, Krishna gives you direction. So you just can't say, the Lord's in everyone's heart, Paramatma, He's giving direction, so that's the end of it. No, you have to be concerned with your desire, because according to your desire, the Lord will personally reciprocate with you. If you want to forget Krishna, the Lord will regretfully give you direction how to forget Him. And if you want to remember Him, the Lord will happily give you direction how to remember Him. Even if you want to be a demon, you have to depend on Krishna for direction so that you'll forget all about Krishna's glories and you'll misuse your intelligence, come up with great scientific theories in which it sounds like there's no God, there's no karma. All that intelligence is coming from the Lord in the heart, who's saying, very well, you want to forget me, now misuse your booty and construct so many elaborate theories and bodies of knowledge, subjects of knowledge, in which there's no supreme controller. We want to have a desire that attracts the favor of the Lord, so that we'll become spiritually competent in the Lord's devotional service. This is what Brahma is getting. He's getting that opportunity, how to get the Lord's favor. And the Lord's telling him, situate yourself in penance and meditation and follow the principles of knowledge to receive my favor. By these actions, you'll be able to understand everything from within your heart. In other words, the Lord's saying, you qualify yourself and I'll talk to you. I'll teach you how to do everything. That instruction from the Lord comes from the super soul, and it also comes from the external representative of the super soul, the spiritual master. When the disciple puts himself or herself under guidance, that is Buddhi Yoga, because the intelligence is then connected to Krishna, and you can learn how to think and make plans for Krishna's pleasure, and then the mercy starts to flow. This is the mysticism of Bhakti Yoga. This is the high, confidential understanding. You sing it every morning. You sing a mystical principle that is more esoteric than any kind of Siddhi Yoga, developing mystic powers, psychic skills. Every morning you're singing the most powerful yogic method for achieving the most confidential understandings. Guru Mukha Padma Bhakya Chitete Koriya Aikya Ana Kriya Madhya. My attachment to his lotus feet is the perfection that fulfills all desires. My only desire is that my consciousness is purified by the words emanating from the lotus mouth. This is the mystical principle of the highest nature. To be attached to the words and instructions coming through Guru Parampara is the highest mystic power. But because we're singing this every day, we may just take it for granted and think, well, what's really going on here? We're singing songs that are nice, and we have lots of service to do. At least we should have lots of service to do. So what's so special about that? When we have a casual attitude toward our devotional service and toward the Guru Mukha Padma, the instructions coming from Krishna through the simple succession, then we lose sight of the empowerment that's available to us. And we forget that we have to do something about our desire. By your desire, you came to the material world. In other words, we can't blame Krishna for our desire for material enjoyment. That is our affair. By desire, we came to this material world. And by desire, we'll get out of Maya. So where is the training for our desire? It is our responsibility to get in touch with the real decisive ingredient in our life. What am I desiring? What's in my heart? Antahridi, what does my heart want? And then do something about it. Mold our life so that we can have the highest desires and aspirations. How is it we came to the material world? Because of our desire? Sometimes it's said that, well, this whole thing about how we came to the material world, we devotees during Prabhupada's presence, they weren't interacting a lot of questions, so therefore they didn't really question Prabhupada enough about what was our situation before coming to the material world. But not exactly true. Quite often, devotees would ask Prabhupada the same question again and again. And I remember one very powerful example of this. In France, around 76, Prabhupada was speaking about how when a woman is attached to her husband, she's psychologically completely satisfied. And so there's no question of going elsewhere for her. So then devotees ask Prabhupada, well, taking that example you just gave us about how if someone is totally satisfied in a love affair, they're not going to go elsewhere, how is it that if we were totally satisfied with Krishna, we could go away? Because obviously, inherently, if you're with Krishna, then you're totally enthralled, you're totally satisfied by virtue of that association. How could you lose the taste for Krishna and go elsewhere, go to the material world? How can that be possible? That you are no longer satisfied with Krishna. So, Prabhupada gave a very wonderful example. He said, suppose every day you're eating dal rice and chapatis, and very nice dal rice and chapatis, and you're very satisfied with it. It's not that one day you lose your satisfaction with the nice dal rice and chapatis. It's just that one day you may think, I'd like to try some halwa. Even though I like the dal rice and chapatis, I wonder what halwa tastes like. So, while maintaining your satisfaction with the dal rice and chapatis, you start longing for something else. So Prabhupada said, this is the psychology of the fall down of the jiva. That you don't exactly say, I'm tired of Krishna, now I want the material world. No, you just start thinking, what's it like to be the enjoyer? I'd like to try something else. And as soon as you start desiring something other than giving Krishna's senses pleasure, then the fall down begins. So that is why the Shastra explains, you come to the material world based on desire. Now, as we go on with our material existence, our desires become more and more crazy and more problematic. In fact, you can easily see, if you think about it, that many times we don't even know what our desires are. We can't figure ourselves out. We don't know what we want. Yet and still, because we're part of supposedly an advanced civilization, we have this pride, I know me, I know what I want. But you can often find in talking, even with young devotees, that they don't know what their desire is about. They don't know what they want. So we require this refinement and training of desire if we're going to be spiritually successful. And the ultimate success of that desire, when it's trained, will be that our intelligence is linked to Krishna and Buddha Yoga, and we'll be able to do wonderful devotional service. This is the goal that Srila Prabhupada wanted for all the devotees, that they have become so active in devotional service, so they'll receive direct guidance from the Lord. Teshan Sutta Yuktana Bhajatam Priti Purvakam. 24 hours a day, one should be engaged in devotional service. And then, the Dhammi Buddhi Yoga, Krishna will start to arrange for direction. Now, actually that Sutta Yuktanam, constant engagement, it does leave you time for sleeping. Prabhupada explained it now. Don't think that that until we are awake and don't sleep at all, and we're engaged in devotional service 24 hours a day, and until that time we won't get any guidance from the Supreme Lord. No. Sattva Yuktanam, Prabhupada explained, means that you just do the minimum to take care of your body, and otherwise you're fully engaged in the Lord's devotional service, and in this way you can become qualified to be empowered when there is priti added, when you're serving based on affection. Yes, this is for Krishna. I love to do this for Krishna. So the beginning of love, the awakening of love for Krishna is when you take your devotional service very responsibly. That is the first tip of the iceberg. Therefore, we stress so much in Prabhupada's line, we stress so much the responsible execution of service for spreading the mission of Lord Chaitanya. Because that attitude of taking it so seriously, trying to improve in your service, persevering, that's the tip of the iceberg of Krishna praying. And gradually, as that attitude improves more and more, that desire to serve Krishna, then the glories of the spiritual world gradually unfold to you, just as you're seeing is happening to Brahma in this verse. The Lord is promising him, it's all going to happen for you, don't worry, you follow my instructions, everything will work. So this is the leader of our disciple succession, Lord Brahma. We're in the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. Brahma is showing by example how to be empowered in devotional service, and certainly if we follow in these footsteps, we'll also receive intelligence from the Supreme Lord. Our desires will change, and because the desires change, then material existence starts to recede, just because of this proper handling of this most powerful thing known as desire, which has brought us to the material world, and when it's properly dealt with, it'll take us back to the spiritual world. Any questions? Yes. Commenting on that. No one desires to come to the material world and suffer. What appears attractive to you when you make your mistake of misusing your independence, what appears attractive to you is that I can be the enjoyer instead of Krishna. That starts to look like an attractive proposition. And because you start desiring in that way, then you become situated in the material energy. So, this thing called misuse of independence or misuse of desire is a very, sometimes hard for us to understand, because it seems like, what's the big deal? So what if I had a wrong desire? So what if I, felt that, maybe there's something else besides serving Krishna's senses? But just that desire is the most powerful thing for causing havoc in our life. And if we can reform that desire, again, the most powerful thing happens for our going back to Godhead. So, often, and in this question that Srivastava is asking on behalf of devotees, like Prichit Maharaj in the Bhagavatam would ask questions, present doubts on behalf of devotees to clear things up. So, we underestimate the potency of desire. What's the big deal? That means we don't understand what Krishna consciousness is dealing with. It's dealing with the most inconceivably powerful thing, which is our desires. But if we leave those desires of ours outside of bhakti yoga, then how are we going to make advancement? It's like, yes, take everything I have, but don't touch my desire. And it's the desire that is most, it's the most necessary ingredient for handing over to Krishna. And then, once your desire is functioning properly, and you end this misuse of your desire, you'll see wonders happen. So, it is true, as Subhasguru was saying, that quite often, we overlook this thing of misuse of desire. When you say misuse of independence, we know that phrase a lot from Prabhupada's book. Understand, independence means desire. You have a certain ability to desire things. Krishna gives that to you so that you'll engage in loving affairs with him. The whole spiritual world, Vrindavan, works on the free use of desire for giving pleasure to Krishna's senses. You see, I'm taking the Charitamrita, I was just reading Prabhupada explaining something very wonderful, that you are tiny and Krishna is unlimited. Still, even though you're tiny and there's such a huge difference in size between you and Krishna, because you're both spiritual, therefore something extraordinary can happen on the spiritual platform, in that when the Lord attracts you, then you become caught up in the free exchange of your desires. You want to please him, and he wants to attract you more and more. So even though you're tiny and he's so great, because you've allowed yourself to start freely desiring Krishna's pleasure, all sorts of things start to happen from that point on, just because of your little tiny desire. So we should think, misuse of independence means misuse of desire. And even in the association of Krishna, you can misuse your desire. Why is that so? The Lord has allowed you to have that much independence. You can desire or not, so that there can be this freedom in loving affairs. And Vrindavan represents the height of freedom in freely loving Krishna. So these things are indeed very mystical. But once we start dealing with the understanding of desire, things start to become clear, and we can very easily see how we can make progress back to Godhead, even in our present situation. You just accept training of desire. That's what a temple is for. What does Prabhupada want? How can I put my desires to achieve Prabhupada's goals? Krishna's representative desires this. Well, I'm going to desire that too. That's the way to start going back to Godhead. Recognizing this desire ability in you. And then everything about Krishna consciousness becomes very clear, because Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam, the Lord will take advantage of your linking your intelligence to him in Buddhi Yoga, and you'll feel an expansion of desire more and more. How can I do more things for Krishna? How can I better my service? How can I be a better devotee? How can I be more engaged in Krishna's service? Just this little thing known as desire ignites the whole blaze of Krishna consciousness. I hope I responded all right to you. Ah, yes, we must have a comment. You won't situate yourself in the extreme penances we have here in Bhakti Yoga without desire. It is your desire that you took up Krishna consciousness in the first place, and you're taking up the sadhana process. That's all based on your desire. And in that sadhana process, you're taught how to ignore your selfish material desires and accept Krishna's desires. So, Even in embracing penance and austerity, that's based on desire. I'll just close with one. Sometimes Prabhupada, he says the most blunt things, but they have such enormous import. So he's explaining how, as a human being, you have the responsibility to choose to control sex desire. That's your responsibility to change your desire. That I'm not going to do this. I'm going to engage myself in devotional service, and I'm going to stay out of such and such activities. Now, that is what makes a human being special. So, you know, Prabhupada in his usual blunt example was that if you call some dogs in here, now it sounds, you know, very blunt, but just think about it. You call some dogs in and say, okay, I want you guys to give up sex desire. What is the use of that? It's a joke. There's no way. But the fact is, these days, if you call human beings into the room and say, we want you to give up sex desire, you'll get the same reaction. Are you kidding? You get real. So now you see the potency of Prabhupada's example. It's very appropriate. It sounds very blunt, but it's right on. That your only qualification as a human being is that you can voluntarily change your desire. I'm not going to surrender to sex desire anymore. I'm going to work on purifying it out of my system. That is the magic of bhakti yoga, that you exchange the carnal desires for desires to please Krishna senses. And in pleasing Krishna senses, you voluntarily desire to undergo whatever inconvenience is there because you've got something higher in mind. I'm going to give pleasure to Krishna. How do you do that? By giving pleasure to Krishna's devotee. We're going to carry out Prabhupada's instructions, although sometimes it's a little tough, sometimes inconvenient. We're going to persevere. In this way, our desire changes.